Council will come to order and the clerk will call the roll.
Adams, Leonard,
here.
Saltzman,
here.
Sten,
here.
Potter.
So we have a time certain on item 132. Can you read that, Carla?
Yes, we could start with the communication, item 131.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't have that in my... Oh, wrong page. Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. 131, request of Kylie Miner to address council regarding a public thank you for making the playground smoke-free.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. You're welcome.
This is my daughter, Rowan, and she's just one of the many examples of why we are so appreciative of you making the playgrounds and other areas of parks smoke-free. And since it's Valentine's Day, we just wanted to give each of you some Valentines, thanking you, from the children of the city from all over Portland.
Nice.
So we have a packet.
We appreciate that. Thank you. Do you want to introduce everybody?
Sure. Well, they can all introduce themselves.
Yeah, hi, I'm Diane Lauder with the American Lung Association of Oregon.
Hi, Diane.
Amanda Wright with NARA. This is my daughter, Sophie.
Hi, Sophie. Well, thank you for coming.
Okay.
We appreciate it.
So you'll have individual packets made from the kids, and this is a big Valentine made by a Lincoln High student. And just thank you so much for taking the leadership to take this great first step in making the park smoke-free. And we hope that it's just a first step, that the parks will end up ultimately completely smoke-free. Thank you, and happy Valentine's
Day.
Thank
you. That's great. Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very nice.
Oh, thank you very much. Happy Valentine's. Thank you.
Thanks for coming today. We appreciate it. So now time certain, 1:32.
That's the 10 a.m. time certain.
I'm sorry. So I guess we'll jump to the regular... Do we have a consent?
No, not
we don't have a consent. Mm-hmm. Okay. Item 133.
Amend city's 2007 legislative package and direct the Office of Government Relations to take a neutral position on state legislation designed to enhance the collective bargaining rights of public safety personnel by allowing them to bargain for staffing levels that provide for their safety.
Thank you. I am going to send this back to my office, but I want to say a couple things first. I think one of the fundamental rights employees should have is to be able to discuss with their employer conditions of safety. And I can think of no two groups who shouldn't enjoy that right more than police officers and firefighters. Unfortunately, this proposal has developed a constitutional problem overnight, that meaning it doesn't have a majority of the votes to pass. So I'm going to send it back and intend to bring it back in maybe a slightly different form that's a more positive support of Senate Bill 400 in Salem that is the vehicle by which firefighters and police officers are attempting to have the right to talk to their employers about their safety. I'll be bringing that back next week. So I'm going to ask for unanimous consent to pull item 133 and send it back to my office. Thank you. Okay.
Mr. President, with all due respect, if we're going to have testimony, we should have testimony from everybody or hold the letter till next week. I don't think I'm comfortable having...
We are going to have... This will be back next week. Would it be more appropriate to do it then, or does he want to do it now?
Well, that's your choice. Austin Raglione, Chief of Staff for Mayor Tom Potter. The mayor is in Washington, D.C. this week. He wanted to be available to talk about this. He did have a letter that he would like me to read into the record.
Okay.
As of 15 minutes ago, I had been told by you that this would not be polled, so we are prepared to have discussion. So with all due respect, the mayor did want me to
fine.
Read the letter.
You can speak to it, and then Robert's in the audience, and I would ask him to...
Yeah, I guess it makes perfect sense. I guess what I'm trying to say is the mayor's going to be here next week. So rather than have the debate today, which if I assume his letter's going to provoke debate, which is going to cause us to need to give others a chance to testify, it might make more sense to just let him debate it next week and not have a debate today at all. I was intending to make no remarks.
Well, that's a choice of the council.
Well, but I'm not going to do something that Tom's going to think is disrespectful towards him. So if your understanding is he'd like you to read that today, that's fine. But as Commissioner Stanton said, we will probably have more of a discussion than what I intended.
Okay, for the record, my name is Austin Raglione with the Mayor Tom Potter's office. This is a memorandum dated February 9th to the City Council and Auditor Gary Blackmore from Mayor Tom Potter. A resolution is coming to Council on February 14th that would direct the Office of Government Relations to take a neutral position on state legislation impacting the collective bargaining rights of public safety personnel. If passed, this resolution would change the city's position from opposed to neutral on House Bill 2404, also Senate Bill 400, currently being heard at the state legislature. I have been advised by the City Attorney's Office, Bureau of Human Resources, and Police Bureau that the passage of House Bill 2404 would negatively impact the city's ability to manage its workforce, assign staff, and negotiate labor agreements. See attached documents. I have a stack of documents here to present. I agree with their assessment and oppose this legislation. Fire and police chiefs across the Oregon are strongly opposed to House Bill 2404. Changing our position from opposed to neutral would not be in keeping with the collaborative working relationship we have developed with our partners across the state and would improve the chances that House Bill 2404 will pass. I respectfully urge you to review the attached memos and reconsider your position on this resolution before Council. Please feel free to contact me if you have any questions. Thank you.
Robert?
Good morning, Robert King, President of the Portland Police Association. Having heard the comments that were made by Austin Raglione here today in the letter from the mayor, the officers of the city, and I'm sure that this is true for the firefighters as well, think it's important that they have the ability across the bargaining table to discuss with their employer a variety of issues that concern safety. One of them, of course, is staffing for us and the police bureau, I think, and the fire bureau, too. Radios, the kinds of cars or fire engines we drive, the kinds of vests we wear, the kinds of guns we carry, et cetera. This is the passage at the state level of this particular House bill and Senate bill does not, in fact, have the negative or the catastrophic impact or consequence that you heard here stated today. I look forward to coming back next week, sharing with the council and the community the concerns that we have. We would like the ability to be able to talk about the issues that affect our lives and the safety of our community across the bargaining table. It's a right we do not have today.
Thank you. Does anybody else wish to testify?
Robert, can I ask you a question? I guess Commissioner Larry should probably have some discussion then, and we'll probably just do it again next week. Might be interested in asking Chief Sizer this question as well. As I've been presented the arguments from both sides, the side against it tends to say, have a series of examples of things that could happen. I think on its face that it's too simplistic perhaps, but hard to argue that for me at least, that firefighters and police shouldn't have some ability to talk about safety issues in collective bargaining. I think we all know, and I just feel like if we're going to have this discussion today, which we've decided to have, we need to actually frame it a little bit and let people understand the choices in front of us. Otherwise, it just becomes kind of words. And on a collective bargaining front now, police and fire cannot strike. I don't know if everybody knows that. And if the two sides cannot reach an agreement, and I think Mayor Potter works very hard, as do the rest of the commissioners, to get to agreements, and more often than not we do. But if we cannot get to agreement, the two sides have to go to arbitration. And the arbitration stakes are not very high by law because the arbiter can only pick one side or the other. They can't mix and match. And I'm just really not doing this for the council's benefit, but for those of who might be drawn into this debate and don't know all these details, and I don't know that many people would. So both sides, I think what's good about that law is, what's bad is it can be very arbitrary, but what's good is that both sides have a huge burden on them to not make extreme proposals, because if you throw a couple extreme proposals into your side, in all likelihood, you're going to lose and get the whole package. So I think this allows police and fire unions to make proposals, but it does not give them any clean way to get them done, and they're going to have to be very careful. So I'm in support, and I think that's the intent of the fire and police unions are the idea of allowing those things to be bargained. Every example I've had come across my desk so far is that the unions could, under this legislation, grieve what I would call routine decisions by the fire and police chief. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about this morning, once we had the debate, about whether or not that's the union's intent. If it's not the union's intent, whether or not there's some ability to maybe amend, suggest work together as a collaborative approach to try and amend the council's recommendations, to maybe put a couple of sentences in that says, yeah, we would be, I might move from neutral to support, which is kind of where Commissioner Leonard is pushing, if we could say that the extreme cases, which is all that make up the memos that are coming my way, are not actually possible. And so I guess I wanted to ask Robert, if it's your intent to use this legislation to grieve, and you can define routine however you want, but what I'm really saying is it your intent to essentially just use this for the bargaining process as opposed to month-to-month decisions?
That is true. That is both our intention. I think that when you look at the relationship that the police union in particular has had with the city or the police bureau, we've grieved issues like the ones that we've been talking about very infrequently. We have the ability to grieve. Chief Sizer, there's a letter that was written that was sent to both the House and to the Senate that gave an example that they wouldn't be able to fund or they wouldn't be able to direct the activities of officers in a neighborhood livability mission. We have the ability to make grievances on issues like that today. We do not. That's not our intention at all. What I hope people really recognize is the point that you've made, and it is that in the early 70s, there was the development of the collective bargaining laws in the state of Oregon. And for public safety workers who don't have the ability to strike, the development of that collective bargaining act and the public safety's ability to negotiate with their employer was really critical for harmonious relationships, for productivity, for a continuity of service, for a whole variety of reasons that are very positive. And through the years, there's topics that come across the bargaining table that are mandatory, that the employer and the employees the law requires that we talk about over the table. The employer is required to talk about it over the table. And there are other items that are permissive, which is to say that the employer can look at us over the bargaining table and say, well, we're not going to talk to you about that. We can meet with you privately. We can talk in labor management committee settings. We will not talk with you about these issues over the bargaining table. And so our point all along has been, we need a way over the bargaining table to discuss the issues that relate to our safety and how our safety and discussions about our safety has this catastrophic impact on the city of Portland and its operations is completely lost on me. So I just think it's fundamentally fair and it's necessary. And given the work that we do and the role we play in the community and the fact that we put our lives on the line every day, I think that it's just abundantly fair that we have the ability to discuss this over a bargaining table in the way we do health insurance and wages. And for us, I'm very careful. As the president of the police union, I am singularly responsible to the men and women that I represent in producing results for them on the issues that really matter to them and their wages, benefits, and working conditions. And when you step onto the arbitration playing field, you put yourself at risk because it's a winner-take-all environment. So I'm not going to be taking a variety of issues into arbitration that put me and my organization's effectiveness at risk. We simply want the opportunity to be able to talk about things that relate to our safety over the table, because today the city can look at us and say, we are not talking to you about the items that relate to your safety, and we think that's unfair.
And would you be open to trying to work on some language? Because, I mean, I have reviewed all these memos because I think this is a really serious question, and I want to get this right, and I also want to show support for our public safety workers. And yeah, the paragraph, which I'm sure in the memo everybody's reviewed from Yvonne Deckard, basically says, and I quote, recent organizational changes being considered by Chief Sizer probably could not occur without bargaining if this bill is enacted. For example, redeploying school police officers could be challenged as potentially increasing officer workload. And I won't read the whole piece, but I don't support a bill that would say, you know, you can unilaterally block deploying somebody from gang detail to school police. And is that your intention?
It is not.
And would you be okay if we worked on some language that I don't know what it is? I'm not a lawyer.
I don't know either, but I would be.
But I'd like to work with our lawyers and Yvonne Deckard to sort of get some language that says that what you said that you want to do is fine. And because I think, you know, it's one of these things where we absolutely have to live in a world of worst case scenarios, because that's what the laws say. But I haven't read a memo yet that isn't strictly about worst case scenarios and not about what you're saying you intend to do, and I take you at your word. And so I wanted to ask, Chief, do you, is that what you're after here, or are you after really saying they shouldn't be able to bring up potential safety issues?
Rosie Sizer, Chief of Police, and with all due respect, I think we have a great working relationship, Robert King and I. He will not always be Portland Police Association's president, and as reasonable as he is on issue, he could be supplanted by someone who was less reasonable. I cannot think of, in my 22 years as a police officer, any occasion where the police chief or police management refused to talk to the police union or police officers about safety issues. It is a fundamental, all-important aspect of our work. And so I think there, the argument about the requirement that we bargain around these issues is kind of a straw dog, because not talking and not working together just doesn't happen when it's a safety issue. If you look at the language of the bill, it is extremely broad. It's staffing and safety and workload. And I don't know many people, and I've talked to Commissioner Leonard about this, who can activate the collective bargaining process for matters related to workload. If you take safety aside and just talk about workload, I can't think of really any change I would implement in the police bureau that wouldn't affect workload. And many of them could potentially affect safety and not necessarily in a disadvantageous way. So this bill has extremely broad ramifications. I think a potential impact of it would be demand to bargain letters over virtually any change. Since I've been police chief, I understand how difficult it is to change an organization that's as large as the police bureau. Sometimes the power of inertia is overwhelming. And if I look at the school police issue, it's a PPCOA and a PPA issue. It's probably a larger workload issue for the Command Officers Association than it is necessarily for the Portland Police Association. And by reassigning those senior resource officers to precinct commanders, I could see the PPCOA demanding to bargain around it.
But Chief Sizer, why wouldn't you, as opposed to just having this blank opposition that the city has taken, do what it is that you said you would like to do, and that is support the part that has to do precisely with safety, and then develop language, as Commissioner Stenz talking about doing with Robert King, that makes it clear the intent isn't to have these kinds of diminished changes that impact workload trigger bargaining. I'm intimately familiar both with the legislative process and the collective bargaining process. And unfortunately, not from you, you and I have had frank discussion, but from others in the city, their comments don't ring true. I just really find myself a little frustrated when I hear people say things like, well, you know, we have partners around the state that we don't want to upset, because we don't want to let our firefighters and police officers talk about their safety. I mean, come on, you guys, let's get real. That doesn't really mesh up real well with the consistent public comments that I hear from every member of the council, that we value our employees, that they should sit at the table with us, they should help us make decisions. But when the rubber hits the road, the city is down there in force trying to kill this bill. And it just bothers me not a little bit. So my point is, if you think there is some middle ground, why aren't we working towards that as opposed to this blanket opposition to a bill that for most of us is a fundamental right of employees?
Well, I think there are people who are working on alternative language to this overly broad language. And I think if you took out workload, that would be something along the line. And if you lessened potential impact as opposed to probable impact, that would narrow the field as well. But I think as the legislation is proposed, I think the city's position should be in opposition to it.
Well, but
and I still care about the safety of my employees terribly.
So
it motivates
agree.
Everything that we do. We talk about issues that are related to safety. But I believe this is overly broad language.
So would you agree then to support language that, in your opinion, focused on the ability of firefighters and police officers to bargain over the safety of their workplace, if it was narrowed to that from what the current
I think that would be better language, and I'd be interested in working with others to narrow the field.
But I'm asking you for your personal opinion.
Yes.
You would support that. Okay. Well, maybe by next week we can get to a place where we're all in agreement, but it's, like I said, it's just difficult to me to not have the city, you know, try to figure out a solution to this as opposed to this really what's been this aggressive opposition down in Salem, which started my involvement in this, was the not just opposition but aggressive opposition. And I just think that's unfair.
And I would just challenge Robert to think of circumstances where police management hasn't been willing to talk about issues.
But you made the point to him that he won't always be around. I mean, why shouldn't that apply to you as well and your managers? You won't always be around. I mean, I can certainly think in my history as president of the fire union, chiefs I liked to deal with and others I hoped I'd never see again after one meeting. So, I mean, that applies to the police bureau as well as it does to Robert and the PPA.
Well, and
the point being, we shouldn't have laws and rules that
right.
reflect personalities. They
right.
should be organizational and speak to systems and not who the people are at the time.
Right, but in 22 years of police experience, I can't think of an important matter where the city, in the body of whatever chief was present at the time, or whatever police union leader, did not talk about issues related to safety of mutual concern.
Well, maybe there's a way, and I appreciate Commissioner Sten's questions, that we can get to a place where next week, I would really like it if we could get to a place to, you know, again, we're not passing the legislation here. There is a whole list of people down there as we speak, a half dozen or more, that are lined up in legislators' office to go in and tell them why this is the end of the earth as we know it if it passes. So it isn't like our involvement one way or the other really makes much difference. But what, to me, it's a statement that's an actual statement to our employees that we don't just say we value you, we want to do things to demonstrate we value you. And I guess that's the part that has me fired up a little bit. I'm not confused to think we're going to, one way or another, impact what happens to the bill one way or the other. I don't think any of us think that.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your thoughtful
much.
Response.
Back next week.
So does anybody else want to weigh in? So we'll send this back to my office. Continue it to next week. Actually, I'm thinking of actually just redrafting it, so maybe we'll just refer back to my office. Yeah. Item 134.
Adopt findings and authorize an exemption to the competitive bidding process to the Bureau of Purchases pursuant to ORS 279C and the City Code 5.34 and provide payment for construction of the Gabriel Park Skate Park project.
Good morning, Commissioner Linderman, members of the City Council. I'm Jeff Baer with the City Bureau of Purchases. And before you is a recommendation to approve the exemption to the competitive bidding process in order to use an alternative construction process. And that is the design build process for constructing the Bureau of Parks and Recreation's Gabriel Park Skate Park. And we have found that design build process worked really well with the Glen Haven Skate Park. And under Oregon law, we're required to provide findings related to why we think it's a better process than the traditional low bid process. And that, under Oregon law, we're required to make findings which are included as Attachment A, which show that it would not diminish competition, and that means that we are going to do a competitive request for proposal process, and also that it would produce substantial cost savings. And another third part is that we would require to provide a post-project review at the end of the project where we'll come back to council and show where those findings actually showed true in terms of the project. And with that, I'll stop and if you address any questions you have, plus we have a representative from Parks here in case there are any project-related questions.
Thank you. Any questions? And is this the first reading, Carla? I think it.
Actually, we did have its first reading last week, so we can go ahead and vote on this.
Okay.
We continued it. But.
Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye. Item 134.
That was 134.
Oh, I'm sorry. 135.
Authorize low-interest state revolving fund loan agreement with the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality for $100,000 for work in Johnson Creek watershed.
Is there anybody here to testify?
These are the two they want to refer back to the commissioner's office.
Okay.
And 136.
135 and 136.
Yes, 136 is authorize a formal bidding process and process and contracts to be executed for the Northwest Gleason Street between Northwest 11th and Northwest 15th Avenue sewer replacement project number 8333.
Is there any objection to sending those both back to Commissioner Adams' office? If not, so approved. 137.
Authorize a facility use agreement with the African American Health Coalition for Matt Dishman Community Center, University Park Community Center, and Columbia Pool.
Anybody here for that? Commissioner Saltz?
I'll just say this is a very effective relationship we've developed with the African American Health Coalition to get more people to use our community centers through their outreach efforts in the African American community primarily. And so this is basically, I think, just renewing that relationship, or continuing it, I should say.
Great. Any discussion? Is that a first reading, Carla?
Yes, it is.
Passes to second reading. 138.
Authorize a license agreement with the State of Oregon on behalf of Portland State University to develop, manage, and operate food-based educational gardening program on Portland Park and Recreation Green Thumb property.
Mr. Saltzman?
This is also the continuation of a relationship with PSU to provide, as it says, food-based educational gardening program at the Green Thumb site, which is in southeast Portland.
Great, thank you. Any discussion? Anybody want to testify? First reading, Carla?
Yes.
Passes to second reading. Council's adjourned till...
We have our time certain.
I'm sorry?
Our time certain, our 10 a.m.
Oh, I'm just doing great here, aren't I? Okay. 10 a.m. time certain.
Item 132, declare intent to initiate local improvement district formation proceedings to construct street improvements from Virginia Avenue to west of Virginia Place in the Southwest Nevada Street Local Improvement District.
Good morning, Andrew. You want to just go ahead and explain this? I had some things here that Sam wanted me to say. Do you want me to do that?
Sure, Commissioner Leonard. We will have an amendment here in a moment that I'll be asking you to approve. We wanted to go ahead and bring this item to council today because we notified all the property owners of this hearing in advance of knowing that Commissioner Adams would be absent today. I checked with Carla. I don't think we have anybody signed up to testify, so I think I can be quite brief this morning.
Go ahead.
Okay. I just want to just quickly show you one slide. This is a map of the Southwest Nevada Street Local Improvement District. The area shaded in gray there is the area that the street area, the street will be improving. All the properties shaded in green have tendered their petition support for this project. There is one waivered property shaded in blue, and then there's one property in gray that did not tender its petition support for the project. This item previously came before council in November of 2004. At the time, I recommended to council that we terminate local improvement district formation proceedings because there was a consensus to construct the street under a permit. The do-it-yourself option has not worked very well over the past 2 years, and I held a property owner meeting last month, and there was a strong consensus to form the LID and go ahead and get the street improved using the city instead of going through the permit route. So that's it in a nutshell. What we've done since 2 years ago is we've changed the scope of the project, we've reduced the cost of the project, and we've changed the assessment methodology. So all the property owners see savings from where they were 2 years ago. Okay. So with that, when I filed the resolution, we had a little over 30% petition support. We had some late petition support that came in. So I just wanted to request Commissioner Leonard if we could adopt an amendment to reflect the additional petition support, and I have copies of that, amendment here with me.
Okay.
And then we can take a roll call on the resolution.
Okay. Good. Bring those.
Once he distributes that, someone needs to move the amendment.
I'm sorry?
Someone will need to move the amendment.
Yes. Well,
move the amendment.
Second.
Let's take a look at it before we vote. Thank you. Thanks. So is there any discussion on the amendment? If not, Carla, can you call the roll on the amendment?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Stan?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Amendment's adopted. Any further discussion on the resolution? Anybody wants to testify?
I was just curious, what is the cost of the improvements or estimated cost?
When we originally costed this out 2 years ago, the cost to the property owners was about $196,000. We've been able to drop that down to $145,000, despite a couple years of inflation.
This is one of these unimproved stretches of road in Southwest?
Yes. Okay. We don't get a lot of projects in Southwest, so we certainly like to put them together when we can.
Excellent. Further discussion? Carla, please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Stan?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
It's adopted. Council's adjourned till next Wednesday at 9:30. I know, I was trying. It wasn't even in the universe.
Ideas, you know.
I don't know how you keep track of all that paper. That's a lot of paper.